Hello friends, welcome to VSchool once again. We are on chapter 4. In the previous chapters, we saw what is a merger, we saw what is an acquisition. We also saw the difference between a merger and an acquisition. In this chapter, we are going to understand about takeover. Takeover is somewhat similar to an acquisition, but in this chapter, we are not only going to understand the different types of takeover, but the interesting part of this lesson is we'll understand the strategies to thwart the takeover bids. This chapter will help you understand takeover and its various forms, the legal measures leading to corporate takeovers, the strategies to avoid takeover bids, and the defensive mechanism to face the takeover bid. So let's straight away begin with what is a takeover. A takeover occurs when an acquiring firm takes over the control of the target company. That's the reason I said it's similar to an acquisition. The acquirer may do this either with or without the consent of the shareholder of the target company. Takeovers happen by the purchase of shares from the shareholders at a specified price. The acquirer usually purchases the shares through a public announcement, which is known as an open offer. The open offer is made to all the shareholders, and it's usually at a price that is higher than the price quoted for the shares in the market. So this is in short about what is a takeover. But do you know takeover is another name for an acquisition? The acquiring company may acquire a substantial quantity of shares or voting rights of the target company, and this is known as a substantial acquisition of shares. By purchasing or controlling over 50% of the shares, the purchaser or acquirer gains control of the target company. The purchaser could be an individual, a group of individuals, that is person acting in concert, or a company itself. So these are the parties that are involved in a takeover. Best example of a takeover could be Walmart acquiring 77% Flipkart in 2018, LIC purchasing controlling interest in IDBI Bank in 2019, 2022 Tata's took over Air India. These are good examples of takeover. In this chapter, we will learn the different types of takeovers, the legal takeovers, the business takeovers, the reverse takeovers, the backflip takeovers, and the strategies to thwart takeovers. We'll also understand the common type of poison pills as well as squeeze out. So this chart shows you about the different types of takeovers, starting from legal to business. In legal, we have the enactment, friendly, hostile, bailout. In business, we are having horizontal, vertical, and the conglomerate. We also would touch up on the reverse and the backflip. So let's begin one by one, starting with the legal takeovers. The first one in the legal takeover is the enactment. Takeovers are governed by specific laws. There are times when a company is legally forced to take over another company, or a takeover happens by law. The nationalization of banks in India in 1961 is a classic example of a legal takeover. By enacting a law, the government took over and nationalized 14 banks. So if enactment is actually doing a takeover or encouraging a takeover, friendly takeovers is one which a target company's management and board of directors agree to a merger or acquisition by another company. Best example could be Baiju's signing a friendly takeover deal with Akash for Educational Services in 2021. So each type has its uniqueness. The third one, the hostile takeover, the acquisition of the company targeted by the acquiring company occurs by the acquiring company going directly to the targeted company shareholder or fighting to replace the management in order to get the acquisition approved, or by buying the majority of the target company shares from individual shareholders of the market. Here again, the best example could be Lord Swaraj Paul's attempt to take over Ascot's could be a hostile takeover. Now we understand the business takeover. The first amongst them is a horizontal takeover. take over of one company by another company in the same industry. The main purpose behind this kind of takeover is achieving the economies of scale or increasing the market share. Good example is takeover of Hutch by Vodafone. In case of a vertical takeover, takeover by one company with its suppliers or a customer. The former is known as a backward integration, the latter is known as forward integration. These concepts we have already learned in the previous chapter. For example, takeover of Sona Steerings Limited by Maruti Udyog Limited is a backward takeover. The main purpose behind this kind of takeover is reduction in cost. The third one in the business takeover comes the conglomerate. Takeover of one company by another company operating in totally different industries. Main purpose of a conglomerate takeover is diversification. An airline company acquiring a newspaper is a good example of a conglomerate merger. Now let us understand about reverse takeovers. A reverse takeover is a type of takeover where a private company acquires a public company. We have a full chapter on this in the next chapter in the form of reverse takeover or merger. This is usually done at the instigation of the larger private company, the purpose being for the private company to effectively float itself while avoiding some of the expense and the time involved in a conventional IPO. A high profile example of a reverse takeover would be when Warren Buffett took his investment from Berkshire Hathaway public. So this is in short about your reverse takeover. We are going to have a separate chapter on reverse takeover in the next chapter itself. Let us understand about backflip takeover. A backflip takeover is any sort of takeover in which the acquiring company turns itself into a subsidiary of a purchased company. This type of takeover rarely occurs. An example of a backflip takeover could be takeover of AT&T by SBC in 2005. So having understood the different types of legal takeovers as well as the business takeovers, now let us understand the strategies that are used to thwart the takeover by the target companies. Managements of the target companies often employ several strategies to thwart takeovers. Some of them are the back end, the bank mail, the crown jewel defense, the flip in, the flip over, the golden parachute, the green mail, the Jonestown defense, and the killer bees. Let us understand this one by one. There are some more, such as the knight, the leverage recapitalization, the lobster trap, the lockup provision, the Nancy Reagan defense, the non-warning stop, and the Pac-Man defense, the pension parachute, the people pill, and the poison pill. Let us look at this one by one. First, let us take the back end. A merger following a tender offer in a two-step merger structure in which a buyer acquires all the target company's stock following the merger. This is a feature of a back end. Usually, the consent of the stockholders representing a majority of the remaining shares which the buyer holds after the tender offer is necessary to execute the back-end merger and complete the acquisition. What happens in case of a bank mail strategy? In a bank mail engagement, the bank of a target firm refuses financing options to the firms with the takeover bids. This takeover tool serves multiple purposes, which includes thwarting the merger acquisition through financial restrictions, increasing the transaction cost of the competitor's firm to find other financial options, and permitting more time for the target firm to develop other strategies or resources. The crown jewel defense. In business, when a company is threatened with takeover, the crown jewel defense is a strategy in which the target company sells off its most attractive assets to a friendly third party or spin off the valuable assets in a separate entity. Consequently, the unfriendly bidder is less attracted to the company's assets. Other effects include the dilution of holdings of the acquirer and making the takeover uneconomical to the third parties. Really, I made a hostile bid in 2020 for Suez by purchasing 29.9% of the share. At the time, Suez used the crown jewel strategy to contrast the takeover bid. The next important strategy is the golden parachute. A golden parachute has been defined as an agreement between a company and an employee, usually a senior executive, specifying that employee will receive certain significant benefits if the employment is terminated. Most definitions specify the employee termination is as a result of a merger or a takeover, also known as the change in control benefits. But more recently, the term has been used to describe excessive CEO and other executive severance packages unrelated to change in ownership. The benefits may include severance pay, cash bonus, stock options, or any other benefits. The first use of the term golden parachute is credited to a 1961 attempt by creditors to oust Howard Hughes from the control of the TVA Airlines. The next important strategy is the green mail. A green mail or green mailing is a practice of purchasing enough shares in a firm to threaten a takeover, thereby forcing the target firm to buy those shares back at a premium in order to suspend the takeover. The green mail proved lucrative for investors such as T. Boone Pickens and Sir James Goldsmith during the 1980s. The next important strategy is the Jonestown defense. The Jonestown defense is an extreme corporation defense against the hostile takeovers. In this strategy, the target firm engages in tactics that might threaten the firm's existence without an imposing acquirer's bid. This is also known as a suicide pill and is an extreme version of the poison pill. The term refers to the 1978 Jonestown mass suicide in Guyana, wherein Jim Jones led the members of the People's Temple, a religious cult, to kill themselves. Another strategy is the killer bees. Killer bees are the firms or individuals that are employed by a target company to fend off the takeover bid. These include investment bankers, accountants, attorneys, tax specialists, and many such connected people. They aid by utilizing various anti-takeover strategies, thereby making the target company economically unattractive and acquisition more costly. The next strategy is the knight. In takeovers, there are four types of knights: the white knight, the gray knight, the yellow knight, and the black knight. Let's see this each one of them. First one, the white knight. In business, a white knight or a friendly investor may be a corporation or a person that needs to help another firm. It refers to the friendly acquirer of a target firm in a hostile takeover attempt by another firm. A white knight can help the target firm by offering terms for a friendly takeover. The intention of the acquisition is to circumvent the takeover of the object of interest by third unfriendly entity, which is perceived to be less favorable. The knight might defeat the undesirable entity by offering a higher and a more enticing bid, or strike a favorable deal with the management of the objective of acquisition. A classic example is Mukesh Ambani assisting the Prithviraj Oberoi East India Group to counter a possible ITC Limited bid. Next, we move on to the gray knight. A gray knight is an acquiring company that enters a bid or a hostile takeover in addition to the target firm and the first bidder. A gray knight is perceived as more favorable than the black knight, unfriendly bidder, but less favorable than the white knight, which is considered as a friendly bidder. After acquisition, the knight then rebuilds the firm or integrates it into self. The third type of knight is a yellow knight. A yellow knight is a company that initiates a hostile takeover but changes tactics during the process to negotiate on more agreeable terms. And the fourth knight is the black knight. Black knights attempt hostile takeovers of target firms. Hostile firm strategies are, number one, make an offer more lucrative than the white knight so that the shareholders consider rejecting the white knight's bid. NL strategy, the hostile firm allows the white knight to move ahead and waits for the acquisition to take place. Once things are settled between the two entities, the hostile firm launches a takeover to the white knight. The next strategy is leverage recapitalization. In corporate finance, a leverage recapitalization is a change of the capital structure of the company. A substitution of equity for debt, example, by issuing bonds to raise money and using that money to buy the company's stock or to pay dividend. A leverage buyout is initiated by an outside party. A leverage capitalization is initiated by the company itself for internal reasons. The main drawback of a leverage capitalization is, number one, the form of recapitalization can lead a company to focus on short-term projects that generate cash, which in turn leads the company to lose its strategic focus. Number two drawback, the additional debt burden of a leverage recapitalization makes a firm more vulnerable to the unexpected business problems, including the recessions and the financial crisis. The next strategy we look into is the lobster trap. A lobster trap in corporate finance is an anti-takeover strategy used by the target firms. In a lobster trap, the target firm issues a charter that prevents individuals with more than 10% ownership of convertible securities, includes the convertible bonds, convertible preferred stock, and the warrants, from transferring these securities to voting stock. The term derives from the fact that lobster traps are designed to catch large lobsters but allow small lobsters to escape. Next, we move to the lockup provision strategy. The lockup provision is a term used in the corporate finance which refers to the option granted by a seller to a buyer to purchase a target company's stock as prelude to takeover. The major or the controlling shareholder is then effectively locked in and is not free to sell the stocks to a party other than the designated party. Lockups can be soft, shareholders merge terminate if the superior offer comes along, or had unconditional. Lockup provisions may take the form of a breakup or termination fees, options given to the target shareholders to buy the target stock, rights given to the bidder shareholders to purchase the target assets, force the vote provisions in the merger agreements and agreements with the major shareholders, voting agreements, agreement to sell shares, agreements to tender. Courts will approve the lockups if they find that the lockup was used to encourage the bidder to make an offer and not as a device to an auction or the bidding process. Next strategy is the Nancy Reagan defense. The Nancy Reagan defense is a tactic in corporate finance used to counter a takeover or a merger bidder who has made a formal bid to the shareholders to buy their shares. When the board of directors of the target company meets to consider the bid, they just say no. The term refers to a catchphrase coined by the former United States First Lady Nancy Reagan advocating abstinence from the recreational drug use. Non-voting stock is another strategy. Non-voting stock is a stock that provides a shareholder very little or no vote on corporate matters such as elections of the board of directors or mergers. This type of share is usually implemented for individuals who want to invest in the company's probability and success at the expense of voting rights in the direction of the company. Preferred stock typically has non-voting qualities. Non-voting stock may also thwart the hostile takeover attempts. If the founders of a company maintain all of the voting stock and sell the non-voting stock only to the public, takeover attempts are unlikely. The next defense we are talking about, a strategy we are talking about, is the Pac-Man defense. The Pac-Man defense is a defensive option to stave off a hostile takeover in which a company that is threatened with a hostile takeover turns the tables by attempting to acquire its would-be buyer. A major example in the U.S. corporate history is the attempted hostile takeover of Martin Marietta by Varex Corporation in 1982. In response, Martin Marietta started buying Varex stock with the aim of assuming control over the company. The next important strategy is the pension parachute. A pension parachute is a form of a poison pill that prevents the raiding form of a hostile takeover from utilizing the pension assets to finance the acquisition. When the target firm is threatened by an acquirer, the pension plan assets are only available to the benefit of the pension plan participants. In corporate governance, the pension parachute protects the surplus cash in the pension fund of the target from unfriendly acquirers. The funds remain the property of the plan's participants in the target company. Next important strategy is the people's pill. The people pill is an anti-takeover defense under which the current management team of the target company threatens to quit en masse in the event of a successful hostile takeover. The effectiveness of a people pill is dependent on the circumstances of the takeover. If the management team is efficient, the company will be left without experienced leadership following a takeover. On the other hand, a great number of takeovers are the result of inefficient leadership in which the management will be fired anyway. The people pill will be ineffective in this situation. Poison pill, yet another strategy. The poison pill was invented by mergers and acquisitions lawyer Martin Lipton of the Wachtell, Lipton, Rosen and Katz in 1982. The typical shareholder rights plan involves a scheme whereby the shareholder will have the right to buy more shares at a discount if one shareholder buys a certain percentage of the company's shares. A shareholder's rights plan, colloquially known as a poison pill, is a type of defensive tactics used by a corporation's board of directors against a takeover. In the field of mergers and acquisitions, shareholder's rights plans were devised in the early 1980s as a way of directors to prevent takeover bidders from negotiating a price for the sale of shares directly with the shareholders and instead forcing the bidders to negotiate with the board. The next strategy is the flip-in. A flip-in is one of the five main types of poison pill defenses against a corporate takeover. The flip-in is a provision in the largest company's corporate charter or bylaws. The provision gives the current shareholders of a target company, other than the hostile acquirer's right, to purchase additional stocks in the targeted company at a discount. This right to purchase occurs only before a potential takeover and when the acquirer surpasses a certain threshold point of obtaining outstanding shares. In 2004, PeopleSoft was employing the flip-in model against Oracle Corporation's multi-billion hostile takeover bid. Flip-over is yet another strategy to thwart the takeovers. A flip-over is another type of the poison pill in which the current shareholders of a targeted firm will have the option to purchase the discounted stock after the potential takeover. It was introduced in the late 1984 and adopted by many firms. The strategy gave a common stock dividend in the form of rights to acquire the firm's common stock or preferred stock under the market value. Following the takeover, the rights would flip over and allow the current shareholder to purchase the unfriendly competitor's shares at a discount. There are common types of poison pills. Several studies indicate that the companies with poison pills shareholders' rights plans have received higher takeover premiums than the companies without the poison pills. The common types of poison pills are the preferred stock plan, the flip-over rights plan, the ownership flip-in plan, the back-end rights plan, and the voting plan. So let us look at this poison pills one by one, the preferred stock plan, the flipper rights plan, the ownership flip-in plan, the backhand rights plan, and the voting plan. So once we understand the different types of the pills that we are having, the people's pills, the poison pills, then we have to look into a concept called safe harbor. Safe harbor is a provision of a statute or regulation that reduces or eliminates a party's liabilities under the law on the condition that the party performed its action in good faith or in compliance with the defined standards. An example of a safe harbor is performance of phase one environmental site assessment by a property purchaser, thus affecting the due diligence and a safe harbor outcome if future contamination found caused by a prior owner. So a safe harbor is a provision of a statute or a regulation that reduces or eliminates a party's liability under the law on the condition that the party performed its action in good faith or in compliance with the defined standards. In the context of commercial takeovers, safe harbor functions as a form of shark repellent used to thwart the takeover, especially the hostile takeover. Under implementation of this provision, a target company will require a troublesome form in order to raise the acquisition price and make acquisition by other parties economically unattractive. Sandbagging is also another strategy. This is tactics used to hide or limit expectations of a company's or individual strength in order to produce greater than anticipated results. Sandbagging in business is most often seen when company managers temper the expectations of superiors or shareholders by giving guidance below what they know will be achieved. Once the better than expected results are presented, the firm looks all the better. What is the scorcher defense? The scorcher defense is a form of risk arbitrage and anti-takeover strategy. When the target firm implements this provision, it will make an effort to make itself unattractive to the hostile bidder. For example, a company may agree to liquidate or destroy all the valuable assets, also called as the crown jewels, or the scheduled debt repayment to be due immediately following a hostile takeover. In some cases, a scorched defense may develop into an extreme anti-takeover defense called a poison pill. That is yet another strategy which is shark repellent. Most companies want to decide their own fates in the marketplace, so when the sharks attack, the shark repellent can send the predator off to look for a less feisty target. This is a term for any one of a number of measures taken by a company to fend off an unwanted or hostile takeover attempt. In many cases, a company will make special amendments to its charter or bylaws that become active only when a takeover attempt is announced or presented to shareholders with a goal of making the takeover less attractive or profitable to the acquisitive firm. This is also a porcupine provision. Squeeze out is a term referring to the compulsory acquisition of the stakes of a small group of shareholders from a joint stock company by means of cash compensation. In Germany, a pool of shareholders owning at least 95% of a company's share has a right to squeeze out the remaining minority of the shareholders by paying them an adequate compensation. Staggered board of directors. A staggered board of directors or a classified board is a prominent practice in the US corporate law governing the board of directors of a company, corporation, or other organization in which only a fraction, often one-third, of the members of the board of directors is elected each time instead of en masse where all the directors have one-year terms. In the publicly held companies, staggered boards have the effect of making the hostile takeover attempts more difficult. There is a standstill agreement. A standstill agreement is usually an instrument of a hostile takeover defense in which an unfriendly bidder agrees to limit its holding of a target firm. In many cases, the target firm is willing to purchase the potential raider shares at a premium price, thereby enacting a standstill or eliminating any takeover chance. By establishing this provision with the prospective acquirer, the target firm will have more time to build up other takeover defenses. Next is a targeted repurchase. A targeted repurchase is a technique used to thwart a hostile takeover in which the target firm purchases back its own stock from an unfriendly bidder, usually at a price well above the market value. On August 20, 2002, KBF Coalition Management Inc., a recycling services provider, reported that it would repurchase stock from its current shareholders. Next, we look at the top-ups. In business, a top-up is a variation of a company's stock repurchase program for the company's shareholder. Although this buyback reduces the voting interest of its shareholder, the shareholder may subsequently increase its holding, called a top-up. For example, if a company A holds 20% of voting power and company B reduces its power to 10%, company A increases its voting power 15% within 6 months. Next is a treasury stock. A treasury stock, or the reacquired stock, is stock which is bought back by the issuing company, reducing the amount of outstanding stock on the open market. Limitations of treasury stock are: treasury stock does not pay a dividend, treasury stock have no voting rights, treasury stock cannot exceed the maximum proportion of total capitalization specified by law in the relevant country. Next is a voting plan. A voting plan, or the voting right plan, is one of the five types of poison pill that a target firm can issue against the hostile takeover attempts. These plans are implemented when a company charters preferred stock with superior voting rights to common shareholders. In an unfriendly bidder acquired a substantial quantity of the target firm's voting common stock, it would not be able to exercise control over its purchase. Next strategy is white square. A white square is similar to a white knight, except it only exercises a significant minority stake as opposed to the majority stake. A white square doesn't have the intention, but rather serves as a figurehead in defense of a hostile takeover. A white square may often also get special voting rights for the equity stake. Next, we move on to the white mill. White mill, coined as an opposite to black mill, has several meanings. In economics, white mill is an anti-takeover arrangement in which the target company will sell significantly discounted stock to a friendly third party. In return, the target company helps thwart takeover attempts by raising the acquisition price of the bidder, allowing the hostile bidder's number of shares, increasing the aggregate stock holding of the company. White mill can also be considered as a legally compensating someone for doing their job in a manner befitting the peer. So friends, with this we reach a conclusion point of this chapter. A takeover occurs when an acquiring firm takes over control of the target company. The purchaser could be an individual, a group of individuals, or a company. With this, we have learned different types of takeover as well as the different strategies to thwart the takeovers. Thank you.